You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set.
Sony Computer Entertainment America presents a Universal Interactive Studios production.
A game created and developed by Naughty Dog. Crash Bandicoot 4.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show this week. It is episode 87 and we are talking Crash Bandicoot Warped or Crash Bandicoot 3 or whatever you want to call it, depending on where you live in the world. Apparently they named it different things in different places just so that 20 plus years later, some fucking idiot like me wouldn't know what to call the game on his podcast. You guys, it took way, way, way too long to talk about Crash Bandicoot on this show. I'll be honest, like when he first showed up back in the 90s, in the mid to late 90s, I thought he was dumb. I thought that the commercials were funny. Like, dude, if you were around back then, and I'm assuming most of you were, you remember those fucking Crash commercials with the guy in the huge Crash costume, but you could clearly see his face in Crash Bandicoot's teeth because like there was the hole cut out and he had the megaphone and he went down to Nintendo and chirped Mario. And oh man, like I always enjoyed his commercials, but then I saw the gameplay and I thought, like, this is just going to be another crappy half-assed platformer trying to take down Mario. I'm a Nintendo kid, right? I've never hid that fact. And I didn't give those games a chance for quite a while. And then I finally did. And it turns out they are pretty, pretty fucking good platformers. Not perfect. There's certainly some issues with them. But like, I played all three on my original PlayStation 1. Last year, I played through all three again on the Insane Trilogy, which I would highly, highly recommend, by the way, if you've got any current console. It's always on sale. You could probably get it for like $20. All three Crash games redone. They look good. They play good. They're fucking really fun games, man. And we are finally going to give Crash Bandicoot his due on the show this week. We waited way too long to do it. And my guest Andre is here, and we are going to talk Crash Bandicoot 3. And before I do that, I got a whole bunch of gaming news I want to talk about. I want to talk about some stuff with the podcast. First off, we have a ton of new listeners right now. Like, I'm running an ad for the show on Facebook and Instagram this week, And on Sunday, we almost broke our single-day download record for any particular single day on the show in the history of the show, which is insane because Sunday is usually one of the slowest days of the week for our traffic because it's right in that midpoint between episodes, Wednesday to Wednesday, and everyone that wanted last week's episode already has it. You know, Sunday's not a busy day for us, and we were like that close to breaking our all-time record for one-day download. So, that's awesome. And if you're new to the show and you found it through one of the ads or through any other, I don't care how you found it. I mean, it'd be cool if you found it through the ads because we paid for those. But no matter how, if you found the show and you're listening and you're hearing this right now, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a chance. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. You're recruited into the Remember the Game Army. Eventually, we're going to take over the retro gaming world. We're getting bigger than I could have ever imagined, and I'm sincerely grateful to have you on board. So, and with that said, if you're new to the show and you don't know the rules, I ramble before I get to the game. If you don't want to listen to all that stuff, there will be a timestamp in the description box below to get you to crash. But I think you should listen to it because I'm going to put a little bit of work into it. But if you don't want to, that's fine. Go to the description box. There's a timestamp. You can skip it. Just get right to the Crash Bandicoot 3 talk. Thank you for showing me some support. And speaking of support, I owe some more Patreon shoutouts. I started giving them out last week. As you don't know, I'm splitting them up now. I'm not doing them all in one episode because it's just too many names and I want everyone to get more than 0.5 seconds of their due. So I want to give the rest of my shoutouts for the month right now. So a massive thank you to all of the people supporting our show on Patreon, which include Keegan Wilson, Lord Egbert, or whatever the fuck your goddamn name is this week, because I know who you are, and you go in every meeting, change your goddamn name, and it drives me crazy. Remember the Game alumni, Mark McHugh, the first winner of our Patreon draw ever, Michael Mathis, Nathan W., because I don't know how to pronounce your last name, Nathan, Fake McHugh, you know who you are, Ole, you even sent me how to say your name, and I don't remember, and I can't find the message right now to look it up, so I'm just going with Ole from Norway. Patrick Crossman, welcome back to the show, buddy. Glad to have you back. Robert L., I believe it's, I don't know if you want me to say your last name, so I'm not going to. You also told me how to say it. Rome21. And then you told me just to call you by your regular name, but I really prefer Rome. I think I said that right. Ryan White, you disappeared and then came back, I think, on the Patreon. Whatever reason, welcome back, buddy. Glad to have you. Shaylee and Ben, supporters of the show since day one. Sean P., welcome aboard. You are new to the Patreon. Sharonic, an old friend of mine, supporting the show. The new coolest name of all our Patreon, Slick Rick. Thomas Christian, admittedly, it's just in alphabetical order, and that's not quite as slick sounding as Slick Rick, but you also sound much less greasy. My pal from Australia, Todd, and finally, another alumni of the show, Tyler. That is all our Patreon shout-outs for the month. Thanks a lot for supporting the show, you guys. And just quickly, guys, here's my only plug. If you want a shout-out on the show, if you want access to all of our bonus episodes, there are 17 of them right now, and a chance to win 25% of our Patreon every single month, patreon.com/rememberthegame. It's only $2. That's practically nothing. You listen to no other ads on the show other than me plugging my stupid Patreon, and that's because we try to support the show via Patreon. So if you're interested, $2 a month, patreon.com/rememberthegame. You get a ton of cool stuff. Done all the housekeeping. Almost. Except please leave me good reviews if you like the show. I don't know what they accomplish. Apparently, they help where we rank when you search retro gaming on your server of choice. And I don't know how to see the reviews on all the other platforms. So if you've left one there, thank you, but I can't see it. But just quickly, shout out to Hoytos for leaving me a five-star review on iTunes. This is just the best. All these games bring back the best memories. So laid back and easy to listen to. All I want to do now is chill and play some old school games. And shout out to Cozy44 for leaving me a five-star review on iTunes. Fantastic, fun podcast. 3 episodes in so far, and it doesn't disappoint. If you're into video games, it's definitely worth a listen. Canadian context, too, which is awesome. Because, yeah, damn right, I'm from Canada. So if you, please leave me a good review. Maybe I'll read it on here. I got to do stuff to incentivize you guys. I know I listen to lots of podcasts. I don't leave reviews on all of them. This is a pain in the ass, but it takes like 3 seconds. Please leave me a good review. God, that would be so nice. Let's grow this fucking thing. Let's take over the world, you guys. Quickly in gaming news, the former president of North America, Reggie, and I don't know how to pronounce, I've been a Nintendo fan my whole life, and I have no idea how to say Reggie's last name. Phil's Ami? I don't know. Look it up. You'll be like, I don't know how to say that either. Anyway, Reggie used to be the president of Nintendo America. He's with GameStop now. I think he's the new leader or president of the board of directors or something. It's crazy because he was retired. And it was sounded like he was pretty happy in retirement. And now suddenly, like, not only did he jump on back onto a video game ship, but he jumped onto like the sinking ship with GameStop. Like the, like they are the Titanic and half of the ship's already gone. I have to assume they gave him a ton of money and it's primarily a PR move. I know he may not be out in front of cameras talking to them all the time and stuff, but Reggie's got an incredibly highly regarded name in the gaming industry, and to attach him to that can't, there's no bad publicity that comes from attaching Reggie to your brand in the video game world. So GameStop has got more black eyes than they do eyes. Like, they're fucked. So, I mean, I guess putting Reggie there, maybe just try to save face a little bit, you know. I don't know. I have no idea why. I don't know why else they would do it. Or maybe they figure we're going to be out of business in 6 months. We got to spend our money on something. Let's give it to Reggie. He's nice. I don't know. And listen, like, I've talked about GameStop on here before and how they are going out of business. It's not a secret. Everybody knows. Like, I'm not cheering for it. Like, I know they get a ton of hate from the gaming world, but when they eventually shut down, a ton of people are going to lose their jobs, and that sucks. Like, there's no cool part to that. And maybe you're thinking like, well, every time I go into GameStop, they're really shitty to me, so I don't care if they lose their jobs. First of all, like, they're just doing their jobs. And so if they're being shitty to you, that's because they've been told to do that. And second of all, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'll tell you guys, like, living here in Canada, we have GameStop. It used to be EB Games, now it's GameStop. I don't know what the whole history is of EB Games and GameStop. But, like, the employees that I deal with have never been mean here or rude or obnoxious or anything, or even, frankly, that pushy. Like, I think the stores suck. When I go in now, it's 3/4, like, crappy toys and t-shirts. And I don't buy a lot of physical games. I primarily go digital. But, like, every time I go in, they're nice. They offer me the gameplay guarantee or whatever, where it's, like, $2, and they'll replace the disc for a year. And I always say no. And then that's it. Like, there's no bad interactions with them. So I'm not cheering for those people to lose their jobs. It's just the simple fact of the business matter is they're going to. Like, I don't know how you save that company now, right? Like, Game Pass and PlayStation Now are getting bigger and bigger. And with every time someone subscribes to those, that's a bunch of games that no one has to go to EB Games or GameStop or whatever to buy. And then you add in the fact that they're competing with Amazon and Walmart and those places. And then add in the fact that they're competing with just digital game sales, right? Like, every given week, there's like 400 games on sale on the PlayStation Network, on the Xbox Marketplace, and on the eShop, on the Switch. Like, it's just, they can't compete. I don't know. They're done. Like, I don't know how they recover, and that sucks. You know, and they're saying that they're going to wait for the next generation consoles, and they're hoping that'll save them. First of all, it's not going to save them. And second of all, at this point, who even knows when those consoles are going to come out? I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they want to delay them into 2021, but the coronavirus is fucking everything up, so who knows what's going to happen there. But anyway, Reggie's with GameStop. I don't think it's going to matter, but good for him, I guess, and good for them, I guess. And yeah, anyway. The Nintendo PlayStation that I talked about a couple weeks ago sold. It sold for $360,000 US, and I thought it would go higher, to be honest. Like, I mean, it's still, like, I say that, but, like, it's still $360,000 American. Living here in Canada, $360,000 American is, like, that would wipe out our national debt here in Canada. That's a lot of money. And it's cool to see that it's out there, and the guy that bought it apparently wants to, like, display it or something, and that's pretty rad. He's not just gonna, like, melt it or fucking hide it in a closet or something. I weighed in on it a couple weeks ago. If you really want all my thoughts, go back. I think it was the Echo the Dolphin episode that I really went to town on that thing and what could have happened if that had actually been released instead of Nintendo kind of just stabbing Sony in the back. But, anyway, I wanted to mention that it sold. It's 300. I thought it would hit 1 million. I really did. So maybe that makes me look like an idiot. $360,000 though, still a lot. It's a fucking house. That's more than a house for a fucking console that only half works. Like, phew, I would buy it if I had the money. I'm not going to bullshit you, but that's crazy. And then finally, it is Mario Day, or Mar 10 Day, or whatever they're calling it. It's March 10th. As I record this, it's March 10th. You guys are listening to it on March 11th or later. But March 10th is like Mario Day, because it's MAR10 for the IO. Nintendo has been pushing this for a few years now. They put a bunch of their games on sale, which is very rare. Like, so if you're thinking about picking up, like, a Mario Maker 2 or Super Mario Party on the Switch or something, it's as good a time as any to get it, because Nintendo doesn't put their shit on sale too often. Apparently, Odyssey's on sale, too. And if that's, yes, if you do not own Odyssey and you own a Switch, get Odyssey, because that game is the tits. So, just quickly, I thought it would be a cool excuse for me to talk a little bit of Mario and have a drink for my favorite series in my favorite genre from my favorite developer. I mean, Mario is the reason this podcast exists. He's the reason I love video games so much. I mean, granted, it's only 11:30 in the morning as I'm recording this, but that doesn't matter. So here's a drink. Here's to Mario. It's just water. I was going to try to play up that it's scotch, but it's water. Anyway, so yeah, I posted it on Twitter this morning. What are your three favorite Mario games? Let me know. You can find us. Oh yeah, at Member the Game, Twitter and Instagram. We'll follow you back. I follow everybody back. So please follow us. I need more followers. I just want to know your three favorite Mario games. I'll just quickly, for the record, mine are, as I've stated on here before, at number three, Super Mario Galaxy, which is crazy because it's one of the best Mario games, one of the best video games ever made, and it's on the worst Nintendo console outside of the Virtual Boy. I fucking hate the Wii. Number two is Mario Odyssey. That game's phenomenal. That game, like, and then number one is Super Mario World, which is, as you all know, my favorite game ever. It's perfect 10. Mario Odyssey, like, as I was playing it, I was so tempted to say it was better than Super Mario World. It's like, if Mario World's a 10, Mario Odyssey's a 9.9. I fucking love that game. I've been meaning to replay it forever. I just don't have time. I can barely play the games I want to play as it is. The Switch turned 3 last week too. I forgot to mention that. That's cool. Like, it blows me away that in the first few months of that system, we got arguably the best Zelda game of all time and arguably the best Mario game of all time. Like, what a launch. Just fucking crazy. I love the Nintendo Switch. That thing is, I love that little system so much. And speaking of it, sorry, I know I'm almost done, I promise. I got my Joy-Cons back from repair. I sent them in. I mentioned I was going to finally do it. And just to give you guys the heads up, because a lot of you were asking about it, they seem to be working great so far. It was a painless process. Other than filling out the Pure Later Way bill that I fucked up twice, but it didn't cost anything. That was just my own incompetence. It was completely free. It took about a week to send them out, get them back. And that was, from, I guess if you don't know Canada's geology, won't matter, but that was from Edmonton to Vancouver. It was not long. Mine were launch Joy-Cons too. And they didn't even blink about asking for any kind of warranty information or anything. They just fixed it, sent it back. It was perfect. So if you're thinking about it, highly recommended, get on it, go to their website. It's a very simple process. Really worth it. Don't play with fucking drift. Drift sucks. Such a pain in the ass. I can play Switch again. Very exciting. Although I haven't been. I have not been playing my Switch. What have I been playing, you ask? There's my super smooth segue into the games that I have been playing. And there's only one. And that's Horizon Zero Dawn. That's pretty well it. I bought it a little while ago when I rebought a PlayStation 4 in preparation for Final Fantasy 7 and Last of Us 2. I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn, the complete edition, for $20. Great deal. Planning to like inhale it and get through it before Ori and the Will of the Wisps comes out, but I didn't make it because Ori's coming out tomorrow or today based on when you're listening to the podcast. And I still have some meat on the bone left in Horizon. So I think I'm just going to let Ori wait for a few days and get through Horizon. I'm not too worried about Ori spoilers. And Horizon's getting a little tough, and I don't want to lose that muscle memory now. We've all done that. You're fucking 20, 25 hours into like a 40-hour game, and then you take your foot off the gas and disappear for a little while. Then you come back, and you can't remember where you're supposed to go or any of the game mechanics, and then you're just fucked. And I don't want that to happen because I'm really... started out a little slow, but it has got its claws in me now. I'm enjoying the fuck out of Horizon. So I'm going to finish that this weekend, I think, and then get into Ori. I'm on the road all weekend, and I have got so much time just sitting in hotels between my comedy shows. Like, I got no driving. It's just sitting in a hotel all day. So I'm going to bring my PlayStation and just try to bomb through the rest of Horizon. So I missed having a PlayStation 4. What a great system. And then I've been playing a little bit of Sonic Mania. But that's only because I recorded a podcast about it last week. Then we're live on Monday for our Patreons. Haha. Anyway, good enough. There's your plug. That's what I've been playing. That's all the news. So we're at, what, 16 minutes. I should shut the fuck up. Let's get to Crash. Episode 87, Crash Bandicoot Warped / Crash Bandicoot 3. Like I said, we waited way too long to talk about the little bandicoot that could on this show. Like, I went from thinking these games would be a joke to absolutely loving them. I would love a Crash Bandicoot 4 so much. Please, for the love of God, Naughty Dog, I know you're making these huge games, but just take like a week and make a Crash Bandicoot 4. I know it would take longer than that, but fuck, I want another one. His Crash is awesome. His games are mostly awesome. I have some minor nitpicks that I'm going to tell you about right away. My pal Andre is here, and we are going to pop the show's Bandicoot cherry. Right now, I'm going to cue some music, and we are going to talk about Crash Bandicoot Warped, which originally released on Halloween, October 31st, 1998. Kick back, relax, enjoy the episode, you guys. Let's talk Crash. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work. Gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
So let's talk about a fun game, because I don't know what order these episodes are going up in, but this is the second episode of the show that Andre and I recorded this morning.
Yep.
And the first one is about a Sega Genesis game that is
terrible,
god awful. And I got very angry, and now I have a great day ahead of me, and I just want to go into the day in a good mood. So now we're going to talk about a fun game. My pal Andre is returning to the show. Woo-hoo! How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Oh, I'm a little happier now.
Yeah? Yeah, you fucking should be. Because like that last game we just did was like in Shawshank Redemption, where Andy's climbing through the sewer pipe. Feel like now we're out of the shit. And now we're in the rain, and we're free. And now we're going to talk about a fun game. And this guy, it has taken him, I don't know what episode number this is going to be, but as of now, I've done 84 episodes and he hasn't shown up. So it has taken at least 85 episodes.
And I've pestered you, over the time of you.
Yeah.
You originally had somebody else that was going to do the game, and then whoever it was backed out. So I got to take it and I'm happy.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get you to do this for a while.
Yeah. And I'm going to try our absolute best to stick alone to Crash 3 so that I can talk Crash 1 and Crash 2.
Easy.
I did have somebody else. And if you're listening to this, man, listen, I'll still talk. We just haven't been able to find a date that works. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I am a Crash Bandicoot guy. I like Crash. He belongs on this show. I'm so happy to finally have him here, and I'm sorry, Mr. Bandicoot, that it took so long to get you here. Today we're talking Crash Bandicoot Warped, aka Crash Bandicoot 3.
Yep.
So here's the thing. Before we get into anything as far as this individual game goes or anything, this is my first chance to talk about Crash Bandicoot. When people think of gaming mascots, I think the two that pop up, I mean, obviously there's like Zelda, and like Nintendo's got a ton, right? There's Master Chief, there's all these. But like, at least back in like the 90s and the early 2000s, it was Mario and it was Sonic.
Yeah, because right? you got your two biggest platforms, two biggest companies in the world at that point.
Right.
And you got to remember, they went to war, so their characters got even bigger because of it.
Nintendo was the house that Mario built. Like, Mario built, like, I know that, I know there's tons of other big franchises, but we all know that Mario is the king, right? Mario's the guy.
If you say Nintendo, I'd say more than half the people that know Nintendo think of Mario before anything else.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
So then Sega was like, well, fuck, we need one of those. And they invented Sonic. And Sonic, I've talked about it on here. I think Sonic is cooler than Mario.
Best video game movie so far.
Yep, it is. And Mario's games are better than Sonic's for the most part. In my opinion.
And, oh, yeah.
But Sonic is a cool mascot.
Oh, very much.
So then lots of other people have tried to come up with these little mascots. Dude, I was somebody posted it on Twitter the other day that Xbox had Blinks the cat or something.
Who?
And they were, yeah, I didn't even remember it. It was like an old, like, the cover of a magazine. And they were like, look out, Mario and Sonic, here comes Blinks. And he was like, nobody gives a fuck about Blinks.
Who the fuck is Blinks?
But when PlayStation came out,
what game is that?
They were like, well, we need one of these guys. And Naughty Dog came up with Crash Bandicoot. And
hey, they took their commercials and focused on this guy.
Dude, the Crash Bandicoot commercials are iconic.
Well, do you remember, okay, my favorite ones are when...
Iconic. One of them will have played before you and I talked here. Because I'm going to be putting one of those, like, hey, plumber boy, fucking commercials in before this.
Oh, so good. I think when they brought out, because I know they just re-released it a year ago, this the nitro-fueled Crash Team Racing,
the racing
game.
One, yeah.
When they brought the original Crash Team Racing, they had the same, like, they had the, because they did redid the commercials for the nitro-fueled version, but they had the same commercials, and it's just him rolling around, parking in front of Nintendo, screaming at him, and driving down, and it was, I love it so much.
It's interesting with Crash, because, like, I feel like with Sonic, Sega found this perfect mix between making him cool without making him obnoxious. And that's a hard thing to do. And I feel like, so Mario is the serious, lovable, good guy, babyface to the max, fucking, I'm going to save the princess. Woo-hoo.
The John Cena of it all.
Yeah, he's the John Cena of it. That's a great way to put it. He's the John Cena of gaming. And then Sonic was like the more rebellious, cool guy, and we could all buy into it.
Punk.
Yeah. And Crash, like... They don't try to make Crash Mr. Superhero Mario, and frankly, they don't make him as cool as Sonic. Crash is a punchline. He makes fun of him. Like, he's clearly just a parody of, like, I think he's wacky, he's funny, and I love the character of, like, Crash Bandicoot.
Like, look at these power moves are slamming into his face, going face first, slamming into the ground. And that is pure parody.
Dude, like, to me, right off the bat, when they introduced Crash with commercials where it was a guy wearing a Crash costume, and you can clearly see the guy's face in Crash's teeth.
Right up the neck.
I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Perfect, perfect.
So Crash is great. I'm going to say it again at the end of the episode, but I want Crash had better be... one of these six characters.
He should have been in the first five.
He should have been. I don't know why he's not, because he's not exclusive anymore.
Whoever that King of Fighters dude or whatever it was, there's not a lot of people who knew that guy was.
No.
You should have been Crash.
The only thing I can think of is that, I assume that Crash still belongs to Naughty Dog, and if that's the case, Naughty Dog is owned by Sony, and so it's one thing for them to be like, hey, we'd like to port our games over to Nintendo and Xbox and stuff more money.
Because then Sony just sees more money.
Sony just makes more money.
Yeah.
But maybe Sony's like, we don't want our character on Nintendo's big fight. That is the only reason I can think that Crash... I have zero doubt in my mind that they have at least inquired about putting Crash in Smash.
Look at the way
Banjo-Kazooie's been received in Smash Bros. Crash would have fit in there fucking perfectly. But anyway.
100%. And I think... especially with his move, like the move sets, the spin, the slams,
the roll,
everything that he has, I think he would work so well. Like, I think he works better than Banjo-Kazooie in that game.
Yeah, I would love to see him in Smash. So what are we at? Okay, so we're 6 minutes in, and we haven't actually talked about the game at all, but that's fine. I have waited a long time to give Crash his due. I usually hate when franchises put out these, like, crappy, shitty mascots and think they're going to catch on and be the next big thing. Crash is awesome. Crash had his original three games on the PS1.
Yep.
He had Crash Team Racing. He's done some other garbage things since then.
Wrath of Cortex and some other ones on PS2.
Most people consider the peak of Crash to be these three games and Crash Team Racing.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And then the remakes.
The PS1 era.
Right, and then the remakes. Now, that's the first place I want to go with this. I never played this one on the I did. I did play this one on the PlayStation years ago.
Yeah.
But recently I have played the Insane Trilogy, the remakes. And you said you have not played the remakes.
Well, okay. So when I first got my Switch, which was last summer in August, I picked up the Insane Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing through it, especially 1 and 2, which I haven't played in probably since I was a little kid, because I had... But I found the controls with the Switch for me, because I'm so used to... Because I also own Crash Warped on the PS3.
Right.
Which is the PS1 classic version. And I'm so used to the way the controls feel with that. And the controls do feel different to me on the Switch. So I ended up selling my copy. And then when we were talking to put it in place to do this, I went through and replayed it on my PlayStation 3 as under the PlayStation the original version. Classic copy.
Yeah.
And I just found handling was better in that way.
If you're used to it, you're used to it. Yeah. I don't think either one is bad.
Well, you didn't play it as much as I did, so you getting that handling, that's your handling. I found just things were off with the Switch remake. Things like when he jumps, the distance on the jumps, things were off. That's what it felt like to me. No, that's a guy who hardcore played it when he's a kid.
And there were people saying that about the remakes, that they just didn't feel quite the same.
They look beautiful.
You know what's... Oh, they look fucking great. Here's the crazy thing. My favorite thing about this podcast is I want remembering old memories and stuff like that. And my girlfriend doesn't play a ton of video games. But when we started dating, I had a PS1 still, because that's when I was collecting games.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I remember playing a little bit of Crash Bandicoot back in the day. And so I went out and bought 2 and 3, and the two of us sat down, and together we marathoned through Crash 1, 2, 3. And I had only ever played the original Crash a little bit. And I was like, dude, these are like, I don't like 3D platformers. I've been quite vocal of that. A majority of the time, I prefer my platformers 2D.
This is one of the best.
And these, I would consider these 2D or 2.5D.
Yeah.
Because you can't free roam, but there's the camera behind you and you move left, right, up, down and stuff. Be it the original 3 or be it the current, like, these are fucking great games. Oh, and wonderful. You mentioned, and I'm looking at it right now because you mentioned that the remakes look fucking gorgeous.
Oh my God, it looks so good.
But I'm looking at a screenshot of the PS1 version of Warped, and even back then, it looks good.
Well, you got to remember this, also the third in the series, it's getting later into the PlayStation's life. So I remember as we talked when we were talking about Final Fantasy, how many episodes, 60-some episodes ago.
Yeah.
You look at the quality as that system went up, the graphics got better and better and better.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Crash Bandicoot Warp, why it still looks so good, even the original version today, when you play it, it is still quite blocky.
It's
blockier, but it still looks really good for a PlayStation 1 game. Right.
Oh, that's the
thing. That early 3D era.
Because I've never, like, I'm not a huge fan of that Nintendo 64 PS1 era. I feel like a lot of those games have not aged well. They don't look good. The original Crash is a little ugly, but the original of anything, they're figuring out the system, right? It's like when you look at, I mean, the bottom line is that even if you take Mario 2 out of the equation, Mario 3 is obviously the superior game to the original Mario Brothers.
Very much.
Everyone says that Sonic 2 is infinitely better than Sonic 1.
Mm-hmm.
Crash 2 is better than Crash 1. And to me, I consider Crash 3 and Crash 2 a coin flip. I think I slightly prefer Crash 2, but I also really enjoy Crash 3. They obviously, the first one was them designing the engine.
Yeah.
And then the next two are like, okay, well, we've got our base. Let's build on it.
How do we expand on this?
And you know what's really nuts? And I don't often talk about developers on here. And I've mentioned that recently. That's something I should really be looking at a little more. Naughty Dog is the company that made Crash Bandicoot.
Yep.
If you don't know who Naughty Dog is, Crash,
crazy.
I'm looking at their core products right now. I adore all four of these franchises. These are Naughty Dog's big four. Crash Bandicoot.
Wonderful.
Good start. Then they moved on from Crash Bandicoot and they started making Jack and Daxter.
So, like, literally some of my favorite PS2 games.
Buddy, we have to do a Jack and Daxter episode.
Oh, yeah, yes,
they're great. 2 and 3, I'm kind of.
The original Jack and Daxter.
When they finished with Jack and Daxter, you guys know where they went? This little franchise called Uncharted.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. I adore those games.
Didn't they just finish the final storyline a couple years ago? Like the main storyline?
They finished Uncharted 4, yeah. And then they made a little game called The Last of Us, which is, if you listen to our Patreon episodes, my number 2 game of the decade.
Yep.
And legitimately in my 5 favorite games of all time.
The reason you're going to buy a PS4 this year.
Yep, I am. I'm buying a PS4 to play Last of Us 2 and Final Fantasy 7. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is Naughty Dog is one of the absolute gargantuous heavyweights of the gaming industry.
Yeah. 100%.
And it all started with Crash Bandicoot.
Yep.
They make good games. Crash. Okay. So, like, what are we at? We're at 12 minutes. I feel like all I've done is suck Crash and Naughty Dog's dick. Let's get into Crash Warped. The story. Do you care the story? Because I don't even care.
Essentially, after 2, other masks, you have Uka Uka, your mask that you get, he's your, like, extra life or extra hit guy.
He's kind of like, I think he's kind of like Crash's Yoda.
He's your fairy, essentially. He gets you an extra hit or two, and then you get the, if you get 3 of them, you get the mask and you become invincible. He's your star. Like, he's your
superstar. Like, yeah, so he helps you. Yeah.
And so his brother gets released and joins up with Cortex, and they warp time or something, and then you got to go through all the different levels of time to eventually just defeat, I think it's Uga Uga or something.
Aku Aku.
That's yeah. whatever.
Uga Uka is the good mask.
Uga Uga is yours, and then Aku is
the bad
Aku,
mask.
Aku, yeah. And so you have to defeat him and Cortex. That is legitimately the game.
Right. Okay. And so like the story is secondary to just having fun platforming.
Because it's not a crazy. It's not like a really in-depth story. It gives you a plot on what you got to do to finish it, who you got to beat. And then you just go through the levels and have fun doing it. But that is what simplicity of this game, and I love it.
It's perfect, yeah. But to me, what's cool about this game is, like, Crash Bandicoot and Crash Bandicoot 2, you're either in the forest or you're in, like, a castle or, like, a lab, like Cortex's lab.
Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot 3, with them bringing up this whole time traveling and warped, literally the game is Crash Bandicoot Warped. Yeah. They can send you to a bunch of different places, which I think is really, really clever, because it lets you go back to like ancient Japan or something. You're on like the Great Wall of China these weird samurai China, places.
There's a medieval levels.
Yeah.
There's like ancient, there's not ancient, there's Egyptian, like bizarre levels.
There's like dinosaur levels. And then there's other points where you're riding jet skis and motorcycles and like it never feels out of place.
But it
changes it up. Like, cause I think that people would have shit on it if they had gone with if you're just going to make Crash 3 a sequel to Crash 2 and you're running through the forest again, I don't think anyone would have cared.
No.
But then they added all these new weird places.
You changed it up, and then you have the superpowers that you earn by beating the bosses.
Right.
Which is, I think, quite fun.
Okay. So, get into that, because I don't remember all of that.
So, you have the first world was you get the slam. Then there's the double jump. The infinite spin.
Right.
Where you keep spinning and spinning. There's the bazooka.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the one you get for beating, because I didn't end up finishing the fifth world.
Right.
But you get another ability for beating Cortex in the end, because then you go back and then there's unlockables after. For every level you beat, because once you run through it, you get the purple crystal and you finish it. Then if you get every box in the level, there's your little diamond, I think.
Yeah, okay. So you have to collect all the purple crystals. That's like the...
Purple crystal is your level completion.
That's what they're after to... Yeah. That's what they're trying to use to take over the world, so that's what you have to go get. But yeah, then if you want to get the gem in every level, you have to break every box. Because
there's the gems for breaking all the boxes.
And I just want to quickly say, I fucking love that mechanic. As someone I don't consider myself a full-fledged completionist, but when I play platformers, I love games where there's like... The classic, there's three big coins. You got to go find your three big coins.
Yeah, or get all the boxes.
You have to get every box. And it starts out incredibly easy to smash every box in a level of Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah. Those first few levels are easy.
It gets fucking vicious. And they put those fucking death boxes in where if you die before
the
you
nitro?
Get... But no, no.
The ones that are the timer boxes.
If you die once, at least this was in the remake. I don't know if this was in the original. If you die once during the level, then you can't take this like weird death path where there's boxes and stuff like that. Like, they really put a ton of depth into it and make you go looking for all these boxes.
Is that where
boxes.
You get on the little platform and it floats you? Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what you get. If you get on the platform and you die while trying to get all those boxes, then you have to then finish the level and restart the
and
level to go
again.
On that path, that extra path. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, that is in the original. Yes.
But the game is fun enough that I never found it frustrating. And I love the mechanics of breaking the boxes. The boxes are so easy to find, but they're so hard to collect all of by the end. Like, some of them are hidden very well.
Well, some of them, because you have... But with the later ones, with your using your double jump and your spin, you can float across things. So you have to actually... I remember one of the ones where it takes you off on that little side path... And you have to literally jump on one box, because you're on the metal boxes walking along. You have to jump onto a wooden box, bounce off that, land on another one, then land on the metal. Then you got to go and you got to double jump and spin float back so that you can hit the metal exclamation point one.
Yeah.
So it completes there. So then you can go and get the ones that were above that. But if you don't get them before you hit that exclamation box, you can't get them, and the crystal's gone.
Yeah,
or the
gem
is gone.
They do a great job of, like, sometimes you get into a portion where there's a bunch of boxes and you've got to stop before you start and just look at it and just be like, okay, I gotta bounce off this one to go get that one, but I gotta hit this switch to open these boxes up, but if I bounce off this box first, I can't get to this switch. Like, I love that. Like, it's a very simple puzzle,
but not super difficult puzzles that don't tell you what to do. It's very obvious what you need to do, but it's challenging to do them.
I enjoy that. I love One thing I've always loved about the Crash series is I don't remember ever playing a platforming game where it's that 2.5D where you kind of run up or run down, like either toward the camera or away from the camera, and the camera is stationary, but the level kind of spins left and right. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And
was it the first world? You're running away from the I think it was the first, second world. You're running away from that dinosaur.
Yeah.
That camera is locked, but everything moves yeah. as you move.
And it's very, like, not a lot of games do that even now. And no. I thought that was such a cool mechanic. I never found it cheap. There's the odd time, particularly where you're running toward the camera,
yeah.
where you don't know what's coming in front of you, and it can be a little infuriating. But they're very quick to, like, okay, reload, try again.
But if you're it's not like, do, make it, you literally float away as an angel or whatever, you burn up and die, whatever. Mm. And the animations for him dying were always entertaining.
Oh, the animations are always great.
You land on the lava. He's like, and his butt's burning. Then it immediately switches back to your checkpoint. You hit something, and it might make you explode into feathers.
Yeah.
Or it's always an entertaining death.
He gets zapped and just his shoes are like sitting there and yeah. he's gone.
He blew into feathers, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's always entertaining on the way he dies. So you don't feel cheated out of. I don't think I ever felt cheated. It was only when I die in boss fights.
Oh, the boss fights.
That was the only time I felt cheated by. And not even cheated, just I wasn't good enough. But yeah. you do feel a little bit cheated when you just miss, and then again the first boss fight, and that other tiger, you land in an open area, and that other tiger just appears, comes out of nowhere and hits you.
Yeah,
that's the only time you feel like, oh, it sucked. But like,
there's the odd time where I found the controls fuck you, but for the most part, the controls are pretty good. Another thing I like, and I also hate, and that there is something I want to get into that I don't like about this game, but I love that half of the levels are this. This 2.5D classic, like when people think of Crash Bandicoot,
yeah.
you think of either that running away from the camera or running toward the camera, yeah. right? But then there's also some side-scrolling stuff, which I really enjoy. Just classic 2D.
Those off-run-off, and you're getting to go to the side, yep. and it's really cool.
But then they put some vehicle levels in it too. And like, just for the record, to any platforming game developer ever, with the exception of Cuphead, because in Cuphead, the level, like those levels were good. Do you like vehicle? I fucking hate them. I think a majority of people don't like them.
I kind of liked the motorcycle levels a little bit in this one because they were fun to play in. But the water skiing ones, though, with Coco, I'm sorry. I had no care for those.
No, they suck. And the thing is, like, nobody wants... You don't have to do vehicle levels. Like, listen, I get that you're trying to change things up and you want to make it original.
The tiger levels, though.
No, see, I don't like those. I fucking hate those. We got to ride the fucking shit.
I love riding the tiger. I thought that was cool.
But if you're someone that insists on getting every box...
I've done it though. Like, I've so gotten all boxes.
I completed 100% in all these games. But like the when you're riding on that fucking tiger and you can't, or whatever animal you're riding on,
you
can't stop them. They're hard to steer, and you see a box coming, but sometimes you literally just don't move them. And
angle of his jumps kind of vary.
They flip around. Yeah. I hate levels where you can't turn around. If the game is designed where I have to collect all these things. Fucking you miss one and it's like, okay, well, I gotta burn a life now, because again, if you want 100% you gotta get every box in every level. And so when you're on this fucking tiger and you can't stop and you can't turn around, or the fucking US ones where you're riding the, like, I don't know what it is, like cyberpunk or something, and you're fucking riding like a motorbike,
oh yeah,
you know, or a quad or whatever the fuck it is,
yeah.
Same thing, if you miss one box
you have to redo the
redo the whole level to get
so
it
you
again.
Might
so
as well just burning through lives and send yourself back to the warp
exactly.
at that point.
And that,
if you've already beaten it once, right?
Yeah. Those levels I don't care for. You don't need that. Like, you make a good platformer. It's a platformer. Let me platform. I don't want to play a fucking racing game. I'll go play Crash Team Racing if I want to play a racing game. Just let me platform.
Well, I think those, like, putting the motorcycle and stuff, that was inspiration. And then going, hey, maybe we can make a racing game from this. Because the motorcycle was introduced in that game, I think that was part of it, right?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
The racing games were popular at that point, but still.
And like, well, yeah, like there was a point where everyone was on a kart racer because Mario Kart was making $1 trillion. But like,
yeah.
And like you said, so I shit on a lot of these games. This game's
a Garfield racing game, dude.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, but yeah, my nephew Ben wants it. And I'm always yelling at him, don't buy a fucking game. Ben, if you're listening to this, I think you did buy it and I'm disappointed in you. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I traditionally slam the controls and I said traditionally slam the graphics from this era. Having said that, I do like most of it. But when you're on that fucking tiger and stuff, I do find the controls frustrating because at times a jump sends you really far, and at times a jump doesn't send you far enough, and or you just, you don't move left far enough or right far enough because the camera's I just felt like it was a little too much.
It's a swinging camera, too. It does throw you off a little bit when you're trying to aim to hit a box, and then you realize you should have waited to aim till you came around that corner a little more.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, I missed the goddamn box. And then the other option, time trial. I love that they had time trials in this.
I'll be honest with you. I never play time trial mode.
I enjoy the time trials. I think it was just trying to get through it as fast as I could.
Yeah.
And you do a couple, and after doing a couple runs of your purple gem run, then your box run, you know what you've got to do to get through this level super quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, the fact that there was like. There was the time freeze ones that give you like that was like the 1, 2, or 3 seconds it would freeze the clock for.
Yeah.
Instead of all your apples and shit.
Yeah.
I love that.
I can get behind the time trials in the sense that like Naughty Dog didn't want you to finish this game in a weekend because you could easily and then not play it again. They're like, here's time trials, here's depth, here's all the hidden things.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. I both love and hate the hidden colored gems that open up extra paths and stuff like that. I love the concept that you find these extra, because there's in certain levels, there's literally just colored gems and they're hidden. And if you find them, they'll open up a path
to earn them.
Yeah. And if you can get them, then they open up a different level or a different path and a different level and stuff like that.
Purple gem you can get in World 4 that you can find it. And then when you go back to a level in World 2 and you use your double jump and your float to get across this big cavern and then it opens up this door and it's a whole new platform.
But this is
a whole new level.
This is the OCD thing in me as someone that likes to complete everything. When I'm in World 2 and I can tell there's like a second path there and I cannot figure out how to get to this fucking path and it drives me insane.
And you literally can't get across that chasm until you have your double jump and your spin.
Right. And then 2 worlds later I get a crystal and then I don't even know that, oh, it opened up a World 2. Like,
yeah.
And I get that they did it. This is pre-internet, really. I mean, it was 98, so it was baby internet.
You could start looking up. If your parents had a printer, you could print a walkthrough if you needed to.
But if you want to open up, like, I'm totally down with extra paths and extra things
but
and stuff like
that.
But
tell you where to go to
just
get that.
Make them doable. Like, my absolute admiration for Metroidvania games is I love when I get near the end of a Metroidvania and I have every move. And I can open up a map and see where everything is, and it's just on me to go and do the challenges to get them. That is probably my favorite mechanic in all of gaming, is that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when it's something like this, where I collect a crystal, and now I've got to go backtracking and figure out where the fuck was the level that I went through that now that this crystal opened up a path, you know what I mean?
It's not clear what level, unless you remember.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember that stupid purple crystal because it's that Egyptian tomb level where you're walking through the underground and you either go left across the chasm to the purple one or you go right and continue on the main level.
Yeah.
And that I remember specifically because of that Y split.
Yeah. So yeah. I would give it about I'll give it a half slam for that because I like the concept. Yeah, give me some extra paths and give me some backtracking.
Yeah,
make it where I can figure out where the fuck I'm supposed to go. Like when I collect that crystal, like cut back to a cutscene on the overworld and that world that like shows something light up.
Just shows a purple aura around that one little
that
and little
so
that
when I finish this level that I might die in 40 more times before I fucking get out of it.
Yeah.
When I finish this level and get out, I get back on the overworld and I can go looking for the level that has that purple globe. And now I'm like, okay, that's all I need. Like just, I'm all for it, but just make it so I know where the fuck I have to go now. Because I feel like all you're doing here is trying to stretch out the length of the game.
Very much.
Where I have to go backtrack and figure out now where
Which
am I supposed to go.
This? Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
And the, when you said when you keep dying over and over again, that's the one thing I really is the easy way to get lives in this game.
Oh, it's yeah, dude.
It you collect lives so fast.
Yeah, because they know you're gonna die a lot.
Every 100 apples, yeah. And like half the boxes you break open are 10 apples yeah. in a box. Oh. So it's just super quickly to get
or
lives
the
in this
or
game.
The life and the live heads keep coming back.
Yep.
So like if you die and then you go back to your last checkpoint, but you know there's a life head in front of you,
yeah.
you never get game
and
over.
And every time you die, it doesn't take those apples you collected from that last checkpoint yeah. there. You keep all your apples. So if you go and hit those three boxes you just hit, you get to hit them again.
Oh, yeah.
And you so you're constantly collecting apples.
Yeah.
Which I think it's apples or whatever the
whatever
the
they are. The fruit. Yeah. Or you go into like a level with a bonus world early, and that bonus yep. world has 55 apples and two extra lives in it.
Oh,
and you go
God,
through it
yes.
every time. It's very easy to stockpile lives. But to me, that's a conscious decision by Naughty Dog where they're like, this game is fucking hard.
This game can be very difficult, so let's give these people the opportunity to continuously yeah. play this game.
Frankly, I mean, and I'm like this now with most of my platforming games. This wasn't quite the standard in 98. I'm a believer of like, just get rid of lives. Like, yeah. just do it like Celeste, do it like Hollow Knight, do it like Shovel Knight, do it like all those. Like, just let me fucking play until I beat
but
the
again,
game.
But again, this was in an era of lives, everything was about lives
yeah.
back then, right?
To
like,
me,
it's all about the lives. Yeah.
To me, lives are the new scores. Like, we don't need scores anymore. Like, I know games don't even do scores anymore.
Yeah, a lot of them don't.
Now we don't need lives. Like, it's just, to me, like, just let me play until I'm done and beat it. Like, that's
yeah,
all you got to
like,
do. Because the thing is, it's like,
you play an Assassin's Creed now. You die, well, you just keep going. You just respawn and you go.
Right. Because when you yeah. get game over, all you do is hit continue, and then you got to go back and just play the level again anyway. So just
yeah.
fucking let me have infinite lives. One other thing you could do in this game, which I thought was cool, but I didn't really use, was you could play as Coco, Crash's little sister.
Yeah, but there was specific levels, right?
See, well, okay, so I was going to ask you that, because in the remake, you can just pick her anytime you want.
Oh, okay, so yeah. the original, it was just...
It was the riding levels, right?
It was the jet ski levels. I think it was like two or three of the levels in World 4 were just her. And then the boss fight in World 4 against Neo or whatever that is, the dude in the mech suit.
Yeah, yeah.
That was her boss fight.
Right.
But all the other ones were Crash. It was primarily Crash. I didn't know, honestly, didn't know that.
Yeah,
I never got to playing 3 on my Insane Trilogy. I never actually played it. I only was playing the first two because I hadn't played them in so long.
So, I mean, it's like, it's a cool touch that you can play as her. Like, I never did because they play exactly the same. I
yeah.
thought it would have been a little bit of a cooler touch if she played a little
Maybe
different.
Maybe she had, like, because she has a ponytail. Yeah. Give her a hair whip move or something.
But with that said, these games are so well designed for Crash's mechanics.
Yeah.
They're probably like, well, if we switch up something about how Coco designs, it could be game breaking. Like, because these games are clearly designed. These levels are designed so well to work with exactly how Crash moves.
I think, honestly, to what you're saying is the fact that you get Coco in the new remake, I think that's more to the factor is a lot. They recognize that female gamers are much
sure.
more prevalent now to what they did back in the day.
Sure.
And I think that was just like, well, let's give everybody a chance. If they want to play just as Coco, they can play just as Coco.
Right. And I'm fine
yeah.
with that in any
oh,
game. Like,
give
us skins, let us play as different characters. I traditionally like it when playing as a different character means a little bit different control.
Heck yeah.
But again, with this game and with the specificity,
yeah,
I don't know what the word is.
Specificity?
Yeah, there we go. I talk for a living. of certain levels and the way they're designed around the Crash mechanics, you can't really change it up or you'd break it.
It wouldn't work because then your powers are used different ways. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, man.
It's such a good game. And then
The bosses, I found all the boss fights really fun in this game.
I do too. I don't find them very hard. The only one I didn't really like was that fucking shooting one with the guy up in outer space.
Yeah, that one is annoying because it's if you don't dodge the right times, you can die very easily in that one.
Yeah.
And the other one I found really annoying was Tiny, the first one. Because if you didn't jump the right times, those fucking lions would just attack you and kill you. And that was the only, But the one I found when I was a kid, and I'm still gonna remember this, is the third boss, the time dude trying to hop across and attack him. I was so bad at aiming on the platform that I just missed the platform, or I'd be going too slow, and then he'd be getting back up before I could attack him, then he'd kill me on the platform.
Right.
Yeah, but I always found that really difficult to skip. And then when I played through here, I beat him the first run through.
Yeah.
When I replayed it there a couple weeks back, so it's just I just like the differences in the bosses. All of them were inventive in the way they did it.
Yeah.
The dinosaur one, the dino guy, was probably the easiest.
Yeah.
Because all he did was shoot, and you just had to run. All you did was run. You avoided everything.
Was this the one that had the mobster guy that like had the fucking like old Tommy gun?
No.
And you had to hide behind the desk. Oh, that's a different.
No, that's
crash.
That's okay. One of the other. I think that's one of the other ones. Like this one had Tiny in the which is one the guy jumped around. And you had to hit him once he got his fork stuck. The dinosaur who shot the things up and had like would destroy the president and he'd just run in and hit him.
Okay.
Then the time dude, you had to run across and hit him once he was weakened. And then, because you had to dodge everything he was doing.
Right,
and then,
right.
And then the mech dude, which is just flat out annoying. I don't like that. It was one of the worst.
Again,
one of the worst ones.
Don't put us in fucking vehicles and platformers.
And then.
Fuck off.
And then the fifth one was Cortex. And the problem with that one was you had Aku Aku and Uka Uka fighting.
That's right, the two masks fight.
Because they fight around, and then if you don't dodge them at the right time, they kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
On top of Cortex attacking you too. And it's just like, ah!
Yeah, there's just a lot going on at the same time. So it's... Dude, these are good games. I don't know why Crash hasn't come back. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to quickly say on the boss thing. Is just like, I'm a big believer, like a platformer. I don't think platformers need boss fights. I don't hate when they're in there.
They work for this game, though.
If you're going to put a boss fight in, make it something fun and original and entertaining. Yep. And I feel like for the most part,
and they didn't make them too hard. That was the thing. They didn't make them too, except for that stupid fucking mech suit.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Well, the thing is like, if I'm playing a platformer, I'm not there to fight bosses. I want to platform. So, I have more fun on the platforming. Than I do in the fighting bosses.
Oh, by far, 100%.
But if the bosses are funny characters and are entertaining, I can live with it. But I'm not there to fight bosses. I just want a platform.
Overall, it's just a really fun game. You can sit down and play for an hour and just enjoy yourself. And get lost in the game.
Crash is iconic. Like, I'm telling you, man. Like, anyone that never played I'm not saying Crash is better than Mario. I would argue Crash is better than Sonic, the platformers. I would argue it. Depends on your personal preferences,
I
think.
I think.
But I feel like
I'm a kid who grew up with both, played both, right? I went from Sega to PlayStation. I will say this. I found Crash games more fun and more accessible to play because Sonic, with the speed and moving around so fast, it's easy to get hurt and die.
That's what always been my beef with
them. You have the ability to move around. And I found,
I feel like the Crash games have stood up, man. They're fucking. Apparently the remakes have sold incredibly well.
So because of that, I think we're going to finally get a new system release of the Crash. They have to be thinking about developing another.
I'm wondering that because I'm okay.
I hope it's classic style. Dude, give us another platformer.
Well, here's the thing, because the Insane Trilogy. They released it, and I don't know if they had high hopes for it, but they released it.
And then it went on PS4, and then it went to everything else.
Because it was selling so well.
Yeah.
So then they did the same thing with Crash Team Racing, and apparently I have not played that, but apparently it sold very, very well as well.
I played the original Crash Team Racing, and I very much enjoyed it. Because, again, I didn't have the 64, so that was my racing game.
Right. I wouldn't even say the concern. What makes me wonder if we'll get... Because I would love a Crash Bandicoot 4. I would fucking love another
Crash
game.
Give us a direct sequel. Because I know we got Wrath of Cortex in another one.
But the thing is...
give us the sequel to 3.
But the thing is it's Naughty Dog. And Naughty Dog is like, well, we've got Last of Us 2 about to come out. We've got Uncharted to play with. We've got a Last of Us 3. Like, they've become such... Like, I don't mean this is like
a heavyweight developer.
It's not a dig at Crash, but I feel like Naughty Dog is too big for Crash.
Yeah.
But so then,
I think if somebody was expecting a game to come out from Naughty Dog at this point, they'd expect an epic Last of Us 2 or the next Uncharted, whatever it is.
If at E3 this year, Naughty Dog, I mean, if E3 this year, if Naughty Dog showed up and you saw that Naughty Dog logo and then it was Crash, I think there'd be a lot of people that would be like, dude, you make some of the most brilliant cinematic gaming experiences ever.
But I don't think they get mad at it because you're getting Last of Us 2 this year.
I know,
so you're
but
getting
then,
you're getting your Epic Games. Like, for them to release a Crash would just be like, I think it would be a love letter to fans in a way.
I do too, but I just, trust me, I want it.
Oh, God,
I just,
yes.
I'm just telling you, I think that company's got to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They have some of the biggest franchises in gaming right now. It would be like Rockstar going back to making a table tennis game
instead of making
Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead.
It'd be smarter almost for them to not announce, if they were going to do that game, don't announce it in an E3. Just put a press release out saying, we're doing another Crash.
Well, but
the thing is, the press for doing it at E3 is bigger.
Well, but the thing is like, it's not just that. It's their resources, right? Like, a simple bottom line, as much as we like Crash isn't going to sell like Last of Us or an Uncharted.
It's
going to
do okay, but it's not going to do, Last of Us
and so,
Uncharted
like,
level.
I mean, so then you could argue like, well, then, because I would love another Jack and Daxter too, but then it's like, well, then like, rent those out to like let hire another company, like a smaller company, have them do it. But then you got to wonder, is
it going to be the same?
That
is it going to be
a lot of games when they switch developers? They Halo switched and it has been the same since it switched. So I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see a Crash 4. I hope we do. Fuck, I would love to see a Crash 4. I would buy a Crash 4 in a heartbeat.
That would be amazing to me.
And I do think that the only reason there's even like that this discussion is even possible is because the Insane Trilogy sold as well as it has.
Oh, if it wasn't for the Insane Trilogy, and Nitro Fueled, you're not even thinking about Crash Bandicoot now.
No.
I don't even think people would think about him for Smash at this point.
No,
if it wasn't for those,
the Insane Trilogy sold so well, guys. Listen, I mean, if you can play the original three, go for it. They're not as readily available as the Insane Trilogy is. The Insane Trilogy is on everything. It goes on sale constantly. Here's how highly I would endorse the Insane Trilogy. I bought it physically because I wasn't sure if I'd like it. 100% into all three games minus the time trials because I don't fucking hate time trials.
Yeah.
But I got like every gem, every box, everything like that. Really enjoyed it. Occasionally got frustrated because they're very hard, but finished all three. And then I sold it because I was like, well, I'll probably never play this again. And every time I see it go on sale digitally, I'm like, I should fucking buy that again. Because I really enjoy...
It's one of those ones you can easily go back to.
There's just three fun platformers. I truly... Iconic is such a big word, but like that fucking kind of Australian, for lack of a... Like that music, like that fucking... the drums and stuff
It's Australian.
It is. An Australian, I know, film. We have listeners in Australia.
He is literally a dingo.
Right. I know we have listeners in Australia. When I think of Crash, I think of you guys, and you guys should be goddamn proud of Crash.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think of like the apples and the boxes and that bright orange suit and him running through the forest or running away from stuff. And I'm like, that's gaming. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy. These are great games. I want it back. Play Crash, and the Insane Trilogy handles just fine, so play it. Good?
Yeah, very good.
So what would you give Crash out of... there's 25 gems. So out of 25 gems, how many gems would
24.
You give Crash? That's pretty high. Crash Warp.
I love Crash Warp. Like, this is the game that was, other than maybe Final Fantasy IX, was one of the highest rotated games when I was a kid. And I love this game.
Yeah, I'll give it... I'll give it 22-ish.
There you go.
A couple of the fucking driving levels irritate me.
I don't mind them. So for me, this game was one of my favorite games as a kid. Yeah, 24, easy.
I just opened up the top selling PlayStation games of all time. Crash Bandicoot is 8. Crash Bandicoot Warped is 13. Crash Bandicoot 2 is 14.
There you go.
So all three Crash Bandicoots are in the top 14 selling PlayStation games. Give us some more Crash, guys. Come on.
But again, as we said, it's tough.
And just quickly before I sign this off, because again, I don't want to name the other game because I don't know what order these are going in. But thank you so much for fucking suggesting a good game instead of that fucking turd on the Sega.
You gotta do good with the bad.
No,
man.
We don't. I'm so glad that we did this one second because at least I'm in a good mood now. Oh yeah, because I said I would mention it again. We want Crash in Smash. He had better be one of these six downloadable characters. God damn it.
I bought the 5-pack DLC hoping, and I got happy with Joker and Crash and Banjo, but I will not buy the 6 until the 6 names are out.
No, I think most people feel like that. After the last couple of, I feel like
after the last two people they release in that 5, I'm like, I don't care.
I'm a Three Houses fanatic.
Yeah.
And I have no interest in playing
Never played Fire Emblem, so for me it's like,
I got Joker out of it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Banjo was fun. Banjo was fun for a while, but he got annoying.
Good stuff. Thanks for doing this, buddy. That was great. Good. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Andre, thank you for coming over and talking a little bit of Crash Bandicoot with me and to every single one of you people, whether you've been listening to the show since day one, you've been listening to the show since this episode, I don't care how long you've been on the team. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for telling your friends. Maybe leave me a good review if you're feeling generous. And if you're really feeling crazy, sign up patreon.com/rememberthegame. $2. You get a whole bunch of stuff. It's like the best $2 you could fucking spend if you like the show. Like, it's $2. It's just nothing. It's nothing. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening, you guys. I really, really appreciate it. I'll be back next week with episode 88. In the meantime, go play some video games. Happy Mario Day. And I will talk to you again in a week. Take it easy, guys. Cheers.